Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To break it, you're not the same as anyone here. But we can take it, we're short of brown around a wit wit. I've got a feeling, we're onto something here.
Live from the Village Green Festival, the Spontaneous Shop presents Global Pillage, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
And if you're worried, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I've got a feeling, we're gonna be okay.
Deborah Francis White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show in which we try to answer the questions that unite us all as human beings by pointing out all the things we do differently. To help us on our quest, we've invited the most different people we could find, comedians. On my left, playing for Citizens of the World, Radu Isaac and Inel Tomlinson. And on my right, playing for Team We Need a Bigger Challenge, Desiree Birch and Joe Ferrugia. So, panellists, what makes you diverse? First Citizens of the World, Radu Isaac, what makes you diverse?
I'm a Romanian, that's one thing about me. The other quick thing is I had like a bicycle accident yesterday, and I think that makes me diverse.
Well, let's check. Does anyone here in the Hive Mind have a bicycle accident yesterday or recently? Yes,
somebody
there's somebody there who can hardly raise his hand because of how bad it was. When was your bicycle accident?
Yeah, I can
accident?
Do my left one.
You fell into a rose bush.
Oh. Quite romantic,
oh,
though.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're not that diverse. Where are you from, sir?
I'm from Pakistan.
He's from Pakistan and he fell into a rose bush. I think that beats from Romania.
And I fell into a Prius.
Fell into a Prius.
That's better. That's more environmentally friendly.
Than a rose bush. A rose car, including a Prius, is more environmentally friendly than a rose bush.
They are.
Inel,
yeah,
what makes you diverse?
Well, my name, for one. I don't know. I have never met anybody else with the same name as me. Does anybody else know any Inels other than me?
Yeah, I know three.
You know three? I typed it into Google. Even Google didn't know. He's like, I don't know.
Is this not really a name? Did your parents make it up?
No, it's actually my name. I asked my mum. I was like, oh, mum, where's my name from? What does it mean? I think it's from Trinidad, but she doesn't have a clue what it means. It just sounded nice because it sounded similar to my older brother's name, which is Cornell. So it's like Cornell and Inel.
Cornell and Inel? Yeah. You sound like Ivy League universities.
Oh, she was let down by that.
Why are you called Citizens of the World?
We couldn't find anything in common in our countries of origin. So we just went with Citizens of the World.
Yeah, Romania right. And Jamaica, but yeah.
Team, we need a bigger challenge. Desiree Birch, why are you diverse?
I am from the States. I grew up in California and lived in New York and now moved here. So I figured out I am bisexual, tri-coastal, and multiracial. So if you don't have any diversity, it's because I ate it.
How are you diverse?
Hi. Well, my dad's Maltese. I'm the only non-comedian up here, so I'm pleased about that.
The only non-comedian.
Okay. Two of us, yeah. And I am wearing a necklace that says, the Tories.
Yes, say blank the Tories.
Sorry, children.
Blank them hard.
We've got children in the audience today, so thank you, Joe.
They're really blanking the hell out.
Yeah, blank those Tories.
I think the children are citizens of tomorrow, so they also thank you for blanking the Tories. And why are you called Team We Need a Bigger Challenge?
Because we looked at them and we're like, we're going to wipe the floor with these guys. And the floor is just grass. It's going to be really pokey.
Wow. We're going to have a great rebuttal after two rounds.
That's a bit aggressive, I'm sorry.
And checking and double-checking everything I say, as well as his privilege, it's our token white, straight, mansplainer, Ned Sedgwick in Penn's Corner!
Hi.
And threatening to turn the whole thing into an all-singing, all-dancing West End extravaganza, on the keyboard is Mark Hodge! Ned Sedgwick, have you had any global experiences this week?
I have actually, Deborah. I was at a party last night with an Australian, and the conversation was winding down. And I said, oh, I'll let you get back to your friends. And they were like, oh, no, they're not waiting for me. And I just didn't really know how to leave them at that point. So I had to stay talking to them.
Because that's, you know, when British you're like, signal.
Yeah, I'll let you get back to your friends.
He's like, a British signalling, I really want to go now. Yeah. On every episode of Global Pillage, Mark Hodge creates a jingle out of a traditional folk song, which he's fairly sure is out of copyright. Over to you, Mark.
Well, I was inspired by our friend Stephen over there, who's from Australia. I don't know why it's not really occurred to me before, but we've not used it, so might as well. What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please, Ned Sedgwick?
Nothing yet.
Right, okay, so that's today's scores jingle. The first round is all at sea. All of the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with a correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. Which part of a British sailor would you touch for good luck?
Oh my God.
Which part of a British sailor would you touch for good luck? Team, we need a bigger challenge.
After I got my mind out of the gutter, I would imagine it would be like the arms, because they're always, I don't know, Fleet Week comes in twice a year in New York and they're always super ripped, and I feel like that would be the luckiest thing possible.
It would feel lucky even if you got no good luck beyond touching the arm of a sailor.
Yeah,
that
I win.
That would be its own luck.
Yeah.
Really? Citizens of the world, which part of a British sailor would you touch for good luck?
The leg, I guess? I guess it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, don't lose that, mate, otherwise you look like a pirate when you come back.
Don't lose that leg or you'll look like a pirate when you come back. Okay, yeah. Radu?
I'm thinking like a nostril. And if it doesn't hit you, then it means you're going to have good luck.
You touch their nostril, so just, and if they don't punch you out.
Yeah, then it means you're having a good day.
You're having a good day.
That does work on absolutely anyone.
It does. It absolutely does. Okay, hive mind. What part of a British sailor would you touch for good luck? Their mast. So you touch the part of the mast. Okay. Anything else? Their beard. Okay, mast are their beard.
Do they let you have a beard in the British Navy?
Okay. I think if you're senior, I think of salty old sea captains as having beards. I think if you're senior, that chap over there could be a sailor, for example, in the chair. So, mast or beard, anything else?
Nose.
Okay. All right. If you think it's mast, buzz now. If you think it's beard, buzz now. If you think it's nose, buzz now. Okay, you've gone for beard. In fact, it's their collar. The collar.
But that's not a part of it.
That's not really part of this clothing.
I didn't know how those worked.
Ned Sedgwick, could you explain more and explain to the cast why you wrote this and how they feel, frankly, bent out of shape that they couldn't possibly have guessed it?
Well, I'm afraid they'd guess a mast out there, and if people were guessing masts and things like that, you really should have made the leap yourself.
Do you know the origin?
I do know the origin. It comes from a myth that there were three stripes on British sailors' collars, and they were meant to represent Nelson's three victories, Copenhagen, Nile, and Trafalgar. And it was kind of good luck before they went, because it's like, good luck, because Nelson was good before he got shot by a sniper in Trafalgar.
Brilliant. In the American Navy, Desiree, this one's for you. In the American Navy, it is seen as good luck for sailors to get a tattoo of a pig or a chicken. What is unusual about this?
That you're walking around with a farm animal on you instead of a naked lady. That's what you're supposed to get if you're a sailor. You have some, like, lady who does this on your arm.
Or a mom tattoo.
Yes, yeah, or a mom, yeah. Or an anchor. There should be no chickens or hogs on a boat.
Well, okay, so the answer is there's no chickens or hogs on a boat. Joe, are you backing your partner up there?
Yes.
Okay. Citizens,
thank you.
Citizens of the world.
Basically just saying it's not Noah's Ark.
Citizens of the world, why is it unusual for sailors to get a tattoo of a pig or a chicken?
Because they usually get a mermaid. And then if you get a chicken, it means you're unusual, let's say that.
So it's unusual because it's unusual. Well, it's well unusual. Done, Radu.
I don't want to say, what is the word, zoophiliac?
No, children. Children.
Okay, yeah.
That's why
I said it on you.
Like 4-year-old
gentleman. I mean, I can't back you up on this already.
Okay. Inel, are you going to back up your partner? I wouldn't, I because in 20 years' time, they'll come for you.
Yeah.
You tree 2037, they will come for you, Inel.
I guess I associate those animals with different people. Pigs, obviously, with the police. And I guess. Oh, sorry, is it? Not that sort of podcast.
We were just
I'm going to have a policeman in. Is that what it is?
Right.
Is this like a policeman thing?
It's not a policeman's ball, no. Chickens?
I mean, I don't want to go there now.
Okay, fair enough.
Can I update our answer?
Yes.
We've also just realised that those animals can't swim.
Okay, those animals can't swim.
Yeah.
Hive mind, why do you think it's unusual?
Really? Have you thrown a pig into the sea before? And if so, what's wrong with you?
You think, okay, we've had one answer from the hive mind. You think those animals can't swim, but they actually can. Anything else from the hive mind?
All sailors are vegan.
All sailors are vegan. Okay.
Yeah.
The chicken is what, sorry?
To be chicken is to be cowardly.
And to be pig is to be delicious.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
You could build a boat out of them.
That's a true festival answer. Okay. If you think you think they can't swim, but they can, buzz now. If it's all sailors are vegan, buzz now. Chickens are cowardly and pigs are delicious, buzz now. And you could build a boat out of a chicken and a pig, buzz now. In fact, team, we need a bigger challenge, had it. Neither animal can swim.
Yes! Nice
Perfect.
One.
Mm. I'm starting to feel the hive mind isn't really trying.
No. I feel the hive mind can turn this around.
Yeah. It is because they thought God would look down when they went overboard at the animals that couldn't swim and take pity on them and pull them out of the water.
Why do we smash a bottle of champagne on a boat to christen it? Oh, hive mind's
knows.
Ready to go. The hive mind's ready to go. Citizens of the world?
It's to do with the fact that even though you're at sea and you drink a lot of alcohol, it's not going to affect the boat and it's not going to affect the sailors.
Yeah. It's to prove you're not an alcoholic on the sea. It's just like, yes, see, I don't need that.
It's to prove you're not drinking and driving, yeah. So you're smashing... Yeah. Look, all the champagne's gone into the sea. There'll be no rum on this ship.
But why not just make a can of strong?
Kind of like the alcohol can't take you
why
down.
Why champagne?
Alcohol can't take the ship
alcohol
down.
Alcohol can't take you down. Okay.
Well, I mean,
well, I know that it can. So I've been to the Edinburgh Festival.
Yes. Well, typically boats are named after women, and if you spill a drink on a woman, usually she'll be wearing fewer things soon, and that's nice.
That sounds really solutionary.
I'm not sure that's a good... I'm not with you, my
yes.
team, ma'am.
Hashtag feminism. If the boys had given that answer, we would have told them off.
Luckily, it was us.
All right, hive mind, you've been bursting to give an answer. Why do we smash a bottle of champagne on a boat to christen it?
I think it's just because only rum is allowed on a ship.
Only rum is allowed on a ship? It's the last broken bottle.
Because
champagne is
made so solidly that if you
smash
it there and it doesn't
take
the boat down, it's solid.
Great.
So that's the risk assessment, yeah?
Okay.
Okay,
so it's risk
assessment. I mean, I like that answer. Can I go with him?
The guys from the health and safety executive.
Just to check that the boat's solid. What's your answer at the back there?
Why not?
It makes the sea alcoholic. Okay.
Very
nice.
Very slightly.
Yes.
It dents the boat to show that we're not all
flawless. It dents the boat to show that we've all got flaws.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, if you think it's because only rum is allowed on boats, buzz now. If you think it is the last broken bottle, so there's going to be no more broken bottles on this trip, buzz now. Risk assessment, buzz now. Why not, buzz now? To make the sea alcoholic, buzz now. And to demonstrate that we've all got flaws, buzz now. Even the lady who said that didn't buzz. Didn't buzz for her own answer. She lost confidence. In fact, it is a sacrifice. The vessel holding the champagne breaks so the ship does not. Is that close to risk assessment?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, so during a prohibition, though, they had to change it because obviously they weren't allowed champagne. So they did it with sparkling spring water they smashed on the boat. But when the USS Kentucky went out, everyone threw bottles of bourbon at it, illegal bottles of bourbon, because they were like, it's not fitting that the USS Kentucky is christened with water.
And it's the end of the round.
What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? Ned Sedgwick.
Thank you, Mark. Citizens of World are lagging behind in third place with no points, so a lot to improve on there. We Need a Bigger Challenge and Hive Mind are tied on 10 points apiece.
Well done.
Yay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The next round is everyone's favourite round.
Idioms!
Perfect. That, you nailed that. What's your name? Mikey, you nailed it. You nailed it to the wall, Mikey. What is the meaning of this foreign phrase, which we have literally translated into English, fingers on buzzers? In Latvia, they say, go and pick mushrooms.
Like, just go get lost, you know, like find a mushroom, pick it. There's mushrooms everywhere. There's fungus all over the place. Like, go get lost in the woods and never come back.
Go get lost in the woods and never come back. As citizens of the world.
Go and make dinner.
Ideally,
they love mushrooms in Latvia. And it's basically go and make dinner and feed us all and be our hero.
Yeah, I guess so. Or it could be kind of something like pop to the chemist, get some supplies, that sort of thing. Depends how you want to look at it.
Is that another euphemism, pop to the chemist and get some supplies?
I don't know what you mean.
We all know what I mean. Even Mikey knows what I mean. He's five. I've made that up, Mikey. Five? I'm pretty good at determining ages of small children. Five? Yeah, bang on! Bang on, my friend. Mikey and I, we're going to go drinking after this. Okay.
Get some supplies.
Hive might not get some supplies. Mikey's going to have a chocolate milk. I'm going to have a double. Okay, Hive Mind. If you were in Latvia and someone said, go and pick mushrooms, what would they be telling you to do?
Get really high.
Get really high. Okay, just what Inel said, but like explicitly.
I didn't say that.
You did, Inel.
Find a fun guy.
find a fun guy.
Very punny.
Okay, get high, find a fun guy. This sounds more like rap lyrics than anything.
Rap, yes. Do you listen to? How many raps have you heard with mushroom-based puns?
I'd be extremely surprised if that pun worked and translated into Latvian.
You don't know. You don't know. Anything else? Yes. Go away. All right. If you think it's get high, buzz now. Find a fun guy, buzz now. Go away, buzz now. You are correct. It's go away. It's get lost.
Yeah.
Can we get that one?
Yeah.
Which both the hive mind and team, we need a bigger challenge, both scored points. Their citizen of the world still trailing on nil point.
Well, I think
nil point.
We're just nice and we're letting them need a bigger challenge.
No, you're not, Radu. I've known you for ages. You're not nice and you would never let anyone have it on purpose. You are a very competitive man. In Vietnam, they say, the pen is down, the chicken is dead. What do they mean? If someone said that to you in Vietnam, what would they be saying? Citizens of the world.
Is that like a thing where it's like, whoop, I'm done working for the day, chicken's dead, let's start cooking.
Okay, let's start cooking. Are you going to agree with that, Radu?
I agree with let's start cooking, yeah. It was okay. Our previous answer as well. We're going with let's start cooking for the whole round.
Okay, every answer now, citizens of the world are just going to say let's start cooking.
Yeah. We're going to stick to a theme.
Okay. This is a chicken rampage, and now they just left their note to say, sorry, I've killed all the chickens.
Yeah. Sorry, I've killed all the chickens.
This is my note to say.
So the note you leave after a rampage.
A chicken rampage.
The pen is down, the chicken is dead. Oh, so it's a very specific
idiom. Chicken rampage, yeah.
All right. Hive mind, in Vietnam. They say the pen is down, the chicken is dead. What do they mean?
I slept with your brother.
That's I'm going to use it that way.
That's
now
how
on.
I'm using it.
I didn't have anything to say before when I was sleeping with brothers.
I slept with your brother. The pen is down, the chicken is dead. I really like that, and it is how I will be using it too. Anything else? It's too late. Okay, it's too late. Let's do this. So a bit like let's roll.
I really like this one.
Okay, great. All right, so if you think it's I slept with your brother, buzz now. Deserves a good buzz, doesn't it, that?
Yeah.
It's too late, buzz now. Or let's do this. Pen is down, the chicken is dead. In fact, it's what you say has serious connotations. So somebody's just said, I slept with your brother.
I just murdered all your chickens.
I just killed all your chickens.
And I'm leaving you a note.
I think we were quite close, actually.
Ned Sedgwick, please explain and anoint points.
There might not be any points for this one, given no one got the right answer or anywhere close.
Are there any points for I slept with your brother?
Style points. Definitely points for style.
Yeah, let's throw some more points around.
Right, okay. In Sweden, they say, there is no cow on the ice. What would they mean? Team, we need a bigger challenge.
Like, you're safe, you're fine. Like, if you went out on the lake and there was a cow there, you might not want to go out there because it's going to fall through a hole. But there's no cow. Like, go on, have a good time.
Go for it, go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it, go for it, okay?
I think it means something like, and we need points for this one. So I'm going to be serious. I think it needs something like politicians never risk. So like fat people, like people who... I'm going to say
what's
fat people.
What's this about fat people? What's this?
It's not...
Diversity-based like, podcast, remember, Raddy?
Let me find another word. But basically, politicians... Fat cats never risk. So people who don't take risks in life, they end up being winners.
Fat cats don't take risks and they're winners. Okay, hive mind. There's no point looking for something that's not there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, there's no point in looking for something if it's not there.
No, you did not say that. The hive mind said that.
Well, it's like something like you do. Like,
I know. Did you agree with Raju, by the way?
Kinda. Yeah. No, I do. I do. I think, like, it's something that you. It's like stupid. It's a stupid thing to kind of do. I think.
Okay. All right. So, a hive mind. No point looking for something if it's not there.
We've run out of cornettos.
We've run out of cornettos. So it's an ice cream joke.
Yeah.
I see. Yes. Wait for your meat to defrost. Okay. There's one here. You're on thin ice.
Ooh, good.
Okay. Thin ice.
Do not go on a wild goose chase without thinking.
Do not go on a wild goose chase without thinking. These young people are coming up with better answers than any of you.
Right
now.
Damn you.
Wild goose chase.
Incredibly
anything
insightful.
Else?
really good.
You're out of your depth. Thank you. Is that a heckle or an answer? Okay, all right. If you think it's no point looking for something that's not there, buzz now. We've run out of cornettos. It's an ice cream pun. Buzz now. Wait for the meat to defrost before you eat it. Thin ice. Don't go on a wild goose chase without looking first. And you're out of your depth. Might have been a heckle. In fact, team, we need a bigger challenge. Had it. It's don't worry.
Yeah.
Just don't worry. There's no cow on the ice. You can go out there.
Yeah, okay. Good. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
I am so not sorry. This was my plan the entire day.
I'm not sorry. No. I mean, you did say you were going to wipe the floor with the boys, and you are living up to your name there. And it's the end of the round.
What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? Ned Sedgwick.
Thank you, Mark. The citizens of the world are keeping it steady with no points. Hive Mind are in second place with 25 points. And just ahead is We're Going to Need a Bigger Challenge with 30 points.
Whoa! Yes!
Come on, Hive Mind, you can do this. Concentrate.
You're all
you basically now want the Hive Mind to win because you've got no chance.
My enemy's enemy is my friend.
Yeah, I just need the other team to lose.
Oh, I see.
Okay, the next round is the team's round. A member of each team has come prepared, or if not, think quickly now, a question based on their culture or family background. Audience, if one of you has a question for one of the teams, that would be relaxing for everyone. Team, we need a bigger challenge. Could you please give a question to citizens of the world?
So I was looking for interesting questions about Malta, and there weren't that many, so I came up with an interesting question about Maltese Terrier instead. So there is a Maltese Terrier called Lucky who has the Guinness World Record for being photographed with the most celebrities. So which number of celebrities has Lucky been photographed with? So the nearest 10.
Does this dog kind of leave Malta at all, or does he just stay around?
This dog gets out and about.
Oh, he gets out and about. Yeah. International dog.
Oh, got like one of the Guinness World Record holder for photographs.
And like several queens have had terriers. Okay. It's
so
a very popular
a couple
dog.
Of premieres and stuff like that.
I want to say 2,200.
I'm thinking it's in the hundreds. It's under 500, obviously. So that means it's like 320.
Okay, so we've got 2,200 and 320. Which one are you going for?
Well, Radis one seems a lot more realistic.
Okay, going for 320.
The celebrities have included, by the way, Bill Clinton, Kim Kardashian. Top notch, this dog. Anyway, that was so close. It's 363.
Oh! Is that close enough to get some points, Ned?
No.
It's close enough for me to think about giving them points.
Okay, that's so fun. Citizens of the world, do you have a question for the Hive Mind?
What does it mean when someone says blouse and skirt?
Blouse and skirt, but in that accent. What a nice looking young woman. Okay, that's one answer. If someone shouts
blouse and skirt,
where is this from? Jamaica.
Yeah.
Okay, in Jamaica, someone shouts blouse and skirt. Somebody's guessed nice looking young woman. Any other guesses? Yeah. Okay, you're a wimp. Anything else? Yes?
You coward.
You're a coward. Okay, all right. If you think it's nice-looking young woman, buzz now. If you think it's a wimp, buzz now. If you think it means you're a coward, buzz now. All right, I think you've gone for wimp. Is it a wimp?
It's a saying you'll say when you're shocked at something, that something kind of happens to you straight away. It's like, blouse and skirt!
I love that. It makes
like
no sense.
A breeze has just blown up your dress and you're like,
I love your thinking, though. That's a very nice lady looking over there. Yeah. I think it's not that.
I feel like you were doing a charming feminist connotation on what you thought might have been quite a cat call. Yeah. That means citizens of the world get points.
Say
they
what?
Can guess it. Yeah.
I'm Steven and I'm from Bulgaria.
Which part of
By the way, single.
Which part of Bulgaria? Steven is also single. Yeah. Okay, we're not going to auction you off. It's not that kind of show, Steven. Which part of Bulgaria are you from?
Plovdiv.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, what's your question for team We Need a Bigger Challenge?
Young people in Bulgaria tend to say something. I feel like a complete hazelnut.
I feel like a complete hazelnut.
No, I'm a complete hazelnut.
I'm a complete
hazelnut. So like, this is something young people say.
I'm delicious.
Yeah. And that's a feeling. That's a feeling. How do I feel? How do I feel?
Tree nut. Key component of Nutella. I still think it's I feel just delectable.
Yeah, or like I'm really tough on the outside and soft on the ends.
Oh.
I reckon it's clever.
Any more guesses?
I think it may be that you're really shiny and cute looking and edible.
Okay, choose one to go for. Team, right, we need a bigger challenge.
Choose. Do you want that one? So like just like I feel pretty kind of thing.
I feel pretty. Is that correct?
I feel lovely.
No, it's I'm exhausted.
Oh, why would a hazelnut be exhausted?
That's the wrong nut to symbolise exhaustion.
Yeah,
like it should be like an almond.
Yeah.
I have enough.
Or a peanut, or like a walnut. Like
peanut,
they would just be like, let me out of here.
They're all
relatively inanimate, aren't they? I'm not seeing the sense in any of this.
Hive Mind scores, and it's the end of the round.
What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please?
They're very good in Southend.
I just quickly want to say my favourite nut fact before I give you the scores. I've got a microphone, so you're going to have to listen. Brazil was named after Brazil nuts. Yeah. Brazil nuts were not named after Brazil.
Wow.
Yeah, they went to Brazil and they're like, hey, there are a lot of Brazil nuts here. What should we call it?
Ned Sedgwick is the only person who has not just a nut fact, but a favourite nut fact.
Oh, yeah.
it's really amazing, wonderful. But Ned Sedgwick is not also single. I don't know, Stephen. It's just unfair.
It is my Tinder tagline. Anyway, I should give you the points now, I suppose. The citizens of the world have now scored and have 6 points.
Yeah.
The Hive Mind are in second with 30 points, and we need a bigger challenge at first with 35 points.
Oh,
nice.
I find you can do this.
We're rocking this.
Next up is the game changer round. For this round, we have just one question about an oppressed group who refused to play the game that the authorities wanted them to play and instead changed the game to another game which suited them better than the game they had before they changed it.
Okay.
It's a game changer round, is what I'm saying. This round only contains one question. But it is worth double points, so if you are the losing team, this may be your opportunity to rise up in rebellion. But if you're in the lead, please be aware that those torches and pitchforks are now heading your way.
Okay, all right.
So, currently, team, we need a bigger challenge, is the patriarchy. You guys could get, in the hive mind now, you could get double points and you could take them. I mean, citizens of the world, you will need a miracle.
That's how all citizens of the world feel.
Why is it... Don't feel sorry for him. Do not.
We're all one. We're all one.
We're not all one when it comes to points. You've got none. They've got those.
I think citizens of the world and hive mind basically should unite powers.
No,
and
I'm sure you do.
And be at 36 points.
If they're going to join with anyone, it's going to be us.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see. Oh, this is interesting. Team, we need a bigger challenge, is Brexiting.
Yeah. We're coalition building.
Now I know what sort of festival this
yeah,
is.
Coalition. Come with us. Look, it's worked so well.
Okay, so this is the smash. This is the smash the patriarchy game changer question. Why is it somewhat ironic that San Francisco was one of the birthplaces of the gay rights movement, and where the initiative to end discrimination based on sexual orientation began? Why is it ironic that it was San Francisco?
That's New York.
That's New York. Yeah,
nothing happens there but earthquakes and fog.
Nothing happens in San Francisco, but earthquakes and fog.
I mean, before Silicon Valley. Rights, but that's so recent, and that's not even
how
close
long have
enough.
You been working for Visit San Francisco?
It's a lovely citizens place. Of the world, this is your big chance to score some points.
Is it ironic?
What was that? Mormons, okay, all right. I mean, it's festival rules, so the hive mind just answering first. Go for it, hive mind. These guys have got nothing. I'm open to it. Okay, is it something to do with there were Mormons there? Okay, that's a something to do with Alcatraz.
Harvey Milk.
Harvey Milk.
Yes. I mean, outlawed in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not a million miles away.
I'm willing to start giving points quite soon.
Wait a second. So based
I'm bursting to give some points.
On the
was
word
it the first place they actually put it in the law that it's illegal?
Not quite. Who lives in San Francisco? Who would live in San Francisco? Where is it?
West Coast.
Yeah, yes. But the second word?
Coast.
The coast.
So who?
So sailors?
Sailors.
So, but the sailors are super gay.
Yeah. Okay.
Hang on. Not all of them.
That has never actually been my experience.
I've been checking out that stereotype for the last 20 years.
That is a stereotype, though.
That is a stereotype. Sailors are not one big monolithic group,
that's
nor
true.
Are gay men.
But
so,
true.
So what might happen to sailors if it were discovered they were gay?
They'd be killed.
And they, no, well, that could have happened.
They would drummed out of the service.
Correct, they were drummed out of the Navy. The San Francisco gay community originated in gay men who had been excluded from the Navy on account of their sexuality.
Oh.
So the hive mind scores some points.
They certainly do.
So nothing to do with prison then.
No, it's most of the cities with the kind of longest standing, most vocal queer communities. So New York, Bangkok, Manila, San Francisco are all naval cities. And I didn't realise it's because people were kicked out of the Navy. I always just thought, like, I never made that leap because it was illegal. So then they were like, well, and it was spearheaded by Harvey Milk, who just was an absolute genius. Not enough words.
When someone asked him, you know, you guys get together, you can't really have children, can you? And he said, no, but it doesn't stop us trying.
Yeah. He was so great. What a great thing to come out of something bad, though.
Yeah.
Indeed. The final round is our quick fire round. Teams should buzz in if they think they know the answer. Hive mind, if one of you knows the answer, you just say buzz really loudly and then give your answer. If you're from England, you're English. If you're from Poland, you're Polish. What are you if you're from Swaziland?
Swahili.
Right.
No, that's... Yes?
Yes.
Swazi, okay. In English, we say, I have other fish to fry. In French, they say, I have other cats to...
Skin.
Other cats to...
Grill.
Grill.
Broil.
Other cats to...
Broil.
Feed to the dogs.
It's actually whip. Other cats to whip. Is that cruel? What popular item does The Economist use to measure purchasing power of different countries? Correct. Buzz McDonald's hamburger. The Big Mac. In Romania, this Hollywood movie was... Yes?
Finish the question.
In Romania, this Hollywood movie was called The Prison for Angels. What was its English title?
Prisoner Cell Block H.
No.
Yes? Was
that the original title? Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, yeah. Shawshank Redemption is correct.
Oh.
You have scored, Radu, finally.
Yes. Thank you. Another question for Romania, please. I need one.
Finish this Australian joke.
What pass.
Do you, no. What do you call a woman who can balance 10 beers on her head?
Sheila.
Your wife?
No. Yes. Sheila. No. It's Beatrix. Beatrix. Don't blame me. Blame Australia.
I prefer your wife.
Deeply.
What school is known as Poudlard to French children? Fictional school.
Oh.
Hogwarts.
Correct. Correct.
Hogwarts.
Yeah, but he buzzed first.
Buzz.
You said it at the same time, and the hype mind buzzed. And it's the end of the show.
What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? What are the scores, please? Ned Sedgwick.
It was a very tense finale. And it will shock you and sadden you to hear that citizens of the world weren't involved in that tenseness. Third place, though, and a very improved 21 points.
Thank you.
And a lot of love as well. Team, we need a bigger challenge. We're in second place with 50 points.
All right.
And the winners with a hive mind with 60 points.
Yay! Well done, hive mind. You caned it. So to the winners, we say there's no cow on the ice, but the losers can go and pick some mushrooms. And I'll leave you with this thought from Italy. If you can't live longer, live deeper. You would say that, Italy, wouldn't you? You would say that. Please give it up for Desiree Birch. Joe Ferrigia, Radu Isaac, Arnel Tomlinson, Ned Sedgwick in Pennant's Corner, Mark Hodge on keyboard. I've been Deborah Rutter's wife. Good night. You have been listening to Global Village, hosted and created by Deborah Frances White. The questions were set by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Grundy Lazimbra. The producer for the Spontaneity Shop was Tom Zielinski. Thanks to Gina Dicio and Sadie Hassel.
Lisa and everyone at Village Green Festival. For more information about this and other episodes, visit globalvillage.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.